all the conditions of life, all the conditioned dhammas of life, like dreams, illusions, bubbles, like shadows, like dewdrops in a lightning flash. Contemplate them thus. Very famous utterance of the Buddha, just reflecting on the nature of this life that we live in. Like a dewdrop, in the morning we might see a drop of dew. Very beautiful, and then as the sun rises, it gets hotter than the dew evaporates. Where does it go? The lightning flash is very bright, and it seems to dissolve back into the immensity of the night. So we can reflect on this magic of life. Wasn't that long ago? Right in this moment, since the beginning of the retreat. Hopefulness or anticipation or some anxiety about what might come. Maybe sometime in the second or third day you were thinking of almost 5 more eternities. Is dissolving the form of the retreat, how we recognize this retreat in the Galilee, in Kirisaran Tanisra, 2002. We recognize the shape, the people, the managers. Notice how now the recognizable shape started to move. This flower, we like to think of it as a flower that has grown and blossomed through the petals and dropped off. If you sense the winds of change manifesting as other vehicles come in preparation for another retreat, another activity, packing our bags, emptying our wounds, that all the conditioned dhammas, like this retreat, that they're like dewdrops. They're there, but then they seem to be there and then they seem to dissolve. We could then think, oh well, does that mean it's just useless? It's there and then it's gone. What's the point? The magic of this kind of experience is the opportunity to recognize, to actually appreciate this transient, dreamlike nature, so that we can understand it and not get so frustrated and upset when something changes and dissolves. We can, rather than blame somebody or blame ourselves, we can more and more realize this is part of life. Part of birth and death, it's part of the realm we live in. Being able to experience the spaciousness, the freedom of the heart that doesn't cling. We've arrived at this time of changing, fading of the retreat, and feels important to honor this transition, to at least spend a few minutes recollecting how it's been. A good quality that is a great blessing in life. It helps us do this recollection. In Thai they call it katanyuta. It means katanyuta, knowing what has been done. In English, it might be translated as gratitude, never to acknowledge what has been done. Actually, one of the great curses of life is that modern life, with our good brains, it's so easy to think about what hasn't been done. Well, this wasn't done, that wasn't quite like I liked it, it wasn't so good, I could have been a bit better. And with this kind of smugness upstairs that judges everything. And unfortunately, that leaves us living in this tiny little tower up here, kind of judging everything. We feel cut off, don't feel very full. And that judging tower has its uses. It can help us see where there really are flaws that can be improved. And that's useful to do that. But it's also useful to notice if we have the capacity to recollect what has been done and get a sense of the blessing of it. It's really helpful. For those who do that, then even many difficult experiences, for someone who has this quality, they're able to recognize the value of it, even the difficult ones, the value to go deeper, enter something they haven't entered before. I certainly myself feel there's been a lot of blessings this week, so I feel a lot of gratitude having the chance to spend time in a place I've never spent time before and to meet sincere people who are willing to time aside to do that which is not easy to do, to be here, to face ourselves, to acknowledge that in the heart which isn't so pretty, to be patient with that, to learn to encourage the arising in the heart of that which maybe hasn't come yet, but which we're giving the space to grow. Part of what has happened is that there's been every person who's come has made a sacrifice to get here, to leave something. So we're grateful for that. All the sacrifices that we know we had to make, maybe even for many of us, our beloved family members made a gift, made an offering, knowing, well, it's going to be maybe tough for me back here, but I would like you to have that chance to come, take time out. For recollecting, for going deeper into your heart, so that you can bring back home again the blessing. We can recollect that's been done, all that back at home, which has enabled us to come to. Appreciate that gift, that sacrifice. Our own gift, our own, what we had to sacrifice to make the effort to come. And especially very, very touched by your some of your elder Sangha members, those practicing for some years, made the effort to organize this, been behind the scenes over the months, communicating, say with us, making it possible for us to come, arranging this retreat, the managers who worked in the office, worked in the kitchen, worked in liaising with the people who run this kibbutz. Just remember that retreats just don't pop out of thin air. Conditions have to be in place to then allow this to happen and to support us so that we don't have to worry about too many things, to support us while we're doing this very important Dhamma work on the heart. So I think we can really katanyuta, recollect what has been done in terms of the really generous, beautiful offering of the managers for the this with you. I made this offering as a gift. Because I love the Dhamma. That's marvelous. Dhamma discussions. Hope we didn't disturb you when we got carried away. We've had some marvelous Dhamma discussion with the managers. I want to encourage you to keep the Sangha alive in this country. By yourself, becoming a practitioner, be making more and more importance in one's life to practice the Dhamma, to incline one's heart to this way of cultivating awareness, cultivating the beautiful qualities of the heart. That puts one in the Sangha. So it's very important to be encouraged by our friends in the Dhamma. It's very important. It's impossible, virtually impossible, to do it without encouragement, without reflections from friends, without the strength that we bestow upon each other when we share the path. This practice we've been doing that the Buddha used, I think we've mentioned it on this retreat, is bhavana. B-H-A-V-A-N-A is the word the Buddha used for meditation. It means to develop, to cultivate, like a garden. In this case, it's the garden of the heart. And we've been cultivating. Maybe when we came, it seemed pretty stony ground. Maybe when we arrived, I don't see much garden here. I just see a lot of whizzing around of worry and busyness. There's some hope in there, but as soon as I sat down, train smashes of restlessness, drowsiness, aversion that is not going fast enough. Many of us, when we started those first few days, were pretty stony cultivation. Lots of rocks, much moisture. It was pretty heavy going. And yet what is magic about this cultivation is the very difficulties, this is a magic garden, the very stones themselves. Obstructions themselves, the weeds themselves, magically turn into kind of compost, magically feed this garden. Because we noticed over time that with our cultivation of patience, cultivation of bringing the mind to the moment, cultivation of remembering what we value in our prayers, in our chanting, praising wisdom, praising truth, praising the possibility of practicing. And in our moment, beginning again, losing it and beginning again, actually practicing, being with this moment, losing it, being patient with noticing what is happening in the heart. Practicing embracing, being with it, practicing relaxing, letting go, practicing stretching, allowing ourselves into rest. Strangely, a lot of the so-called obstructions seem to turn into something else. We notice part of the magic of this process. Though it might seem to dissolve pretty quickly, there has been something very beautiful, from my perspective at least, in my heart, certainly what I've seen in this retreat, beautiful things growing up. I've seen many lovely expressions in the heart, in the hearts around, moments of patience. Lovely flowers of serenity for periods of time. A lot of beautiful plants of truthfulness, but a lot of truth in this retreat. Sometimes we don't give ourselves credit for that, but it's a beautiful flower of the heart. Even when we seem to be talking about something that's frustrating, my mind is just going nuts. Yet, when one is truthfully noting that, acknowledging that, this is how it is, that's something beautiful. That's something that's rooted in the way things are. That's something which is a quality which is beautiful to bring forth, because that takes us home. Because the essence of the way things are is free. What takes us away from our home is falseness. What takes us away from our home is not being patient. What takes away from our home is not being committed to being here. Being committed just to avoid it. But I encourage us in our practice to, in this cultivation, in this gardening of the heart, to remember, I just learned in Tel Aviv that the word bhavana that the Buddha used is also very linked to Hebrew, that it's linked to bhavana, with understanding. So our bhavana is bhavana, with understanding. And let's hope our bhavana is not with stupidity, but with wrong thinking. And so I would like to encourage us to remember that what all we can do is water, make effort to create a space, do these things, these wonderful practices that we've been talking about, being patient, coming to the moment, inquiring, listening, praying, embracing, letting go, and practice this. But we can't actually make the plants grow. There's a story in the Chinese tradition about a farmer who had some kind of field of, I don't know whether it was wheat or something like that. And he came back one day to his family and announced, sweating, "I have worked very hard today. I've discovered a new scientific technique. You're quite pleased with me. But I've just increased the growth of our crop 1 inch around the whole field." He said, "I'm exhausted, but you know, I've really discovered something fancy." And the children said, "Wow, how could you do that?" Rushed out there, and he in his wisdom had gone the new little sprouts. He thought they were going too slow, so he pulled each one up. And he pulled each one up a little more. And then he pulled, worked for hours in the sun, but he thought, "Boy, aren't I something. Look, I've doubled the yield in one afternoon." And he pulled each one up, so he went home, bragged about it. The children went out and looked. Every one of the shoots had withered, died, every one of them. They went back, told their father, and he said, "It can't be." Went out and looked. He was discouraged. That's not bhavana. But it's natural. It's natural to be impatient. But remember, the impatience is part of the fertilizer, compost. You know, compost, that which looks like weeds, leaves, vegetable peels, things that most people might want to throw away. A good cultivator knows that if you let it break down, becomes what we call compost, something that feeds in the garden. Put it back into the garden. That's how to provide a condition for the plants to grow naturally. In our impatience, when we listen to it, not believe it, not reject it, our impatience, when we listen to it, then can turn into more patience, more kindness, more capacity to be truly with how things are. And so the Buddha taught magaha takile sava patanupati dhammatam, taught that magga, the path, is activity of practice. hatha kilesava. In and of themselves, just the activity of practice will break up the obstructions. Just as we practice little by little, the obstructions will be broken up. But pata nupati, pata means the goal, upati dhammatam. The goal arises according to its own law, according to its own time. We can't just pull the plant up. We can't just make wisdom happen. We can't make letting go happen. We can practice. And then within that practice sphere, if we trust, just trust this activity of being present, this activity of being patient, this activity of inquiring, this activity of sprinkling awareness into all the moments of our life, that's what we can do. Then the goal, the results, we have to trust. The results will happen on their own, in their own time. So it really encourages. Just as we've seen in this week, some of the early days, we thought, where is this going? And for many of us have had really beautiful, beautiful moments of insight, shifts, changes. Okay. It's gradual, but let's trust that process. Or as another teacher used to say, practice the Dharma and leave the rest up to karma. That's another very good one. Practice the Dharma and then leave the rest up to karma. Tend the plants, do the cultivation, but then it actually grows. We have to trust that it grows and shifts and changes according to the law. So in one sense, we're learning to trust a little more, a little more. This is the activity. We have the rest of our life. And if you're open to it, all our future lives, to keep practicing the Dhamma, cultivating the Dhamma, and remembering the Buddha taught us, let's at least be open to it. Our destiny, we're doomed to full Buddhahood. That's our destiny. No matter how dumb we are, no matter how stubborn we are, the nature of stubbornness is like a dewdrop. When the sun comes up, it evaporates. When we shine the light, even into our stupid moments, that's, what is that? It's a stupid moment that arises and then ceases back into what is timeless, our own pure heart. So the Buddha with confidence could say, you will eventually recognize your own pure heart, your own pure state. So our destiny is to awaken fully into enlightenment. So as this lovely flower of this retreat, a chance to meet each of you, blossoming, and now just the winds are changing, the petals are dropping off, the wind's going to be blowing us all to Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem, to different villages, towns, Africa, other places. But may we take these seeds, there's seeds in our hearts. May we plant these seeds. Plant the seeds wherever you go. Plant the seeds. They're in our heart. Plant the seeds in our home place. Plant the seeds in our workplace. Tend these seeds. It takes some resolution. It will take some, to know this word, resolution, is the virtues. Atitana is the word the Buddha used. Determination. Some determination to keep gardening. To wherever we go, to give some space to the seeds to grow. Really encourages to make a resolution with them. I will find a way creatively. I will find a way to allow these seeds of truthfulness, patience, kindness, investigation, little by little grow in my life and take root in my home, in the workplace, wherever I happen to go. And remember that one of the most helpful things in this gardening is to have a good friend. Wherever you meet somebody, they have kindness in their heart, they have some patience in their heart, they have some commitment to truth in their heart, they have also a Dhamma, or someone we can share the Dhamma. Please keep in touch with people who have helped us run this retreat. It's managers of, what's the name of your group? Tovana. with Tovana and the other Dhamma groups in this country too, so that spiritual friendship with good people, keeps us encouraged so that we don't neglect our gardens, so that we don't neglect the seeds which we have planted. And I really feel that there's much beauty and goodness that can come into our lives and can come into this world. Stretch just for a few minutes, then we could, as a group, formally just recollect these lovely blessings, that the many things we acknowledge have been done within ourselves, and share them with all beings. So let's just take a minute to stretch.
True wisdom.
moments of kindness and being willing to be with how things are. The humble moments of beginning again, fresh arms. May these blessings, as we relax and fill this body, our body, feel the goodness of this weakness. Not a reason to be ashamed of this weakness. Respect for a good fortune for us. Leaving a few breaths. Allowing the blessings of our lives to touch this body. Share all these.
through this, we fell short of all that.
And